إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, a reading from Ashru Qawa'id fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. The topic that we're going to read tonight is going to be the second principle of the 10 principles. And before we read yani from that principle, we want to just quickly review some of the points that we covered last week under the first principle in from questionnaire study guide number 2. First question being, what is Al-Qa'ida Al-Ula, the first principle related to purification of the soul? First principle, Ya Musa. Naam. Tawheed aslu ma tazku bihi an nufus. Okay, somebody translate for us. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Tawheed, like
the tawheed of Allah, yani singling out Allah for all of His rights.
Is the principle through which the soul are purified.
It is the foundation through which the souls are purified. The foundation is a tawheed. And this is very, very important for us to know, the foundation, the importance of a foundation. That means tawheed is going to come back again and again and again all the time to us, because it is the core of Islam and it is the foundation, yani, based upon which or through which the souls are purified. Second question, what is the ghaya, the objective or goal for which Allah created us and brought us into existence? And what is the evidence for this position? Naam, Waleed.
So the goal is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that we don't worship any other deity, only Allah, only for Allah.
That we worship Allah alone, we don't worship anything besides Him, everything is for Allah alone. Naam.
And the proof is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا
لِيَعْبُدُونَ. نعم.
I did not create the jinn and the human beings except for them to worship me.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I didn't create the jinn and the human beings except to worship me, for the purpose of worshiping Allah alone. This is the purpose for which Allah created the creation and the reason for which He brought us into existence. It is at Tawheed, to worship Him alone. This is the very purpose and the most important thing in our life, to fulfill this goal for which Allah created us. Question number 3. Memorize the evidence which proves that the mihwar, the core of the da'wah of every prophet and messenger, was at Tawheed. Memorize the evidence for this statement. Shu'aib. Naam. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Yani, the meaning of this, indeed, certainly, we have sent, we have missioned to every ummah, to every nation, a messenger. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And their call, their message, of all of them, the central call was that you worship Allah alone and that you avoid yani the taghut, the things that are worshipped, obeyed, or followed yani other than Allah, without a right. Naam. This was the call of every Prophet and Messenger. Al-Imam Sa'adi says, this was something that every Prophet and Messenger agreed upon, that they were in agreement upon this, that there's one da'wah, one call, one deen, and it is, yani, the worship of Allah alone. Question number 4, discuss the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, yani, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, and what it teaches us about the proper manhaj of a da'wah. What was the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal? Naam, duha.
The hadith says that
The Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he said that indeed you are going to a people, qawman min ahli kitab, from the people of the book. So make the first thing that you call them to, it should be that they yuwahid Allah, that they yani acknowledge, accept, and comply with the fact that Allah is alone in His right to be worshipped, and whatever other rights are exclusively His alone. And yuwahid Allah, yani to establish a tawheed. Let the first thing that you call them to be the tawheed. This is what we should start with. And this hadith teaches us what about da'wah? That we start with tawheed. Yani this is the core of the call. This is the essence of it. This is the important matter. Everything else is secondary. This is where it starts. It starts with tawheed. If they accept that, then we can yani teach them other things. But if they don't accept tawheed, then you're merely wasting your time. Because there's no benefit in anything after that without a tawheed. And this shows us the incorrectness and the error of the people yani who call themselves people of da'wah, calling to everything else except at tawheed. Question number 5, memorize the ayah, yani which actually two ayats, 41, surah 41, yani surah Fussilat, ayat 6 and 7. And mention the threat that it contains and who it is that is threatened by Allah in this ayat. Yani the threat that it contains and who it is that is threatened by Allah in this ayat. Naam, Omar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Wa waylun lil mushrikeen alladhina la yu'toona zakata wa hum bil akhirati hum kafirun.
Ahsant. This is the ayat. Yani, what is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody else? Naam.
This ayat says destruction to the mushrikeen.
Destruction to the mushrikeen. Yani, wail. Yani, Al-Azab al-Shadeed for the Mushrikeen. Mushrikeen, now.
And there are those who do not come with the zakat.
Those who do not come with the zakat.
Tawheed and Iman.
Tawheed and Iman.
And they do not believe in the hereafter.
And they do not believe in the hereafter. So the threat in this ayah is the threat of what? Severe punishment. Wail. And it is the threat for the people who Allah described in these two ayats as three characteristics. The first characteristic, that they are mushrikun. That they are mushrikun. And the second characteristic, لا يؤتون بالزكاة. يعني لا يزكون أنفسهم. They didn't purify themselves with tawheed and iman. And the third characteristic is كفر بالآخرة. يعني هم وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون. يعني مشركون كافرون يعني الذين لا يزكون أنفسهم بالتوحيد والإيمان. نعم. And this is the tafsir, yani that the scholars of Sunnah have all agreed upon the meaning of az-zakat in this ayat. It is, yani, the purification of the soul with tawheed and iman. Question number six. Discuss Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, explanation of the word zakat in the above ayat and what it contains of nafyu, negation, and ithbat, affirmation. Yani, the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah of the word zakat in this ayat and what it contains of nephew and ithbat. Now, Abdul Haq.
That's here a zakat, here a tawheed, wal iman, وإنه يتضمن والإيمان به كسب الرزق الذي به.
Okay, he said that the zakat in this ayah, it is a tawheed, an iman, through which the heart is purified. Naam. Uh-huh.
And also, إِنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ نَفْيَ إِلَهِيَةِ سِوَى الْحَقِّ وَتَصْبِيتُ إِلَهِيَةِ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ حَقِيقَةً
هي حقيقة لا إله إلا الله. نعم. And it is the foundation through which the souls are purified. Yani, the meaning of what Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said here is that the meaning of zakat here, it is a tawheed and it is iman. And if you go back to the ayah, you know that Allah mentioned, wail lil mushrikeen. So what removes the from shirk is tawheed. And he said, wahum bil akhirati hum kafirun. And what removes the kufr, it is iman. So Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said, it is tawheed and iman. It is tawheed and iman. And he also said, and it contains within it, yani that which purifies the soul, it contains within it nafi and ithbat. Nafi ilahiyati ma siwa al-haq min al-qalb. That it removes, it negates, yani the worship of anything other than al-haq. Yani al-haq, Allah, yani one of the names of Allah. The ilahiyah, the divinity or the worship of other than Allah, it removes that from the heart. Well, ithbat and the affirmation, the confirmation of ilahiyat al-haq, yani the worship of Allah alone, fil qalb, in the heart. Naam. And this is the true meaning of la ilaha illallah. Yani la ilaha illa, la ilaha is the negation, the nafi, of worship to other than Allah. And illallah is the affirmation of worship for Allah alone. And this is the foundation through which the hearts are purified. And this is a tremendous explanation that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has given to this particular ayat. And this is in agreement with the scholars of tafsir of the people of Sunnah all agreed upon. Question number 7. Discuss the consequence of shirk and its effect upon both the soul and good deeds of the human being. How does it affect the human being, the soul of the human being? And how does it affect the deeds of the human being? Naam, as shirk. Faddo, ya Musa. It pollutes the nafs, naam. And causes it to be destroyed, naam. That's what it does to the nafs. It pollutes it, corrupts it, and destroys it, naam. And it also destroys, invalidates, causes to be in vain the deeds of the human being, ya Abdul Haq. طيب, and it's the sin that Allah doesn't forgive for a person. But before we get to there, right, we're going to stop here for a minute. Because now I want to look at, yani in this answer, the consequence of shirk and its effect. The shaykh mentioned the effect on the soul of the human being and the effect on the deeds of the human being. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar 39:65. Did anybody know this ayah? الذين من قبلك من الخاسرين. This is the ayah that the shaykh is depending upon for this meaning, that if you had committed shirk, yani Allah said, He revealed to you and to those before you of the prophets and messengers, that if you had committed shirk, then it would have destroyed your deeds and you will be of the khasirin. So the deeds would be destroyed and the person would be of the losers. Question number 8. Memorize and briefly discuss the meaning of the ayah in Surah Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th ayah, and how, yani, memorize and briefly discuss this ayah, in the 4th Surah, 48th ayah, and how it shows the severity of the consequence of shirk. What is the ayah? Ya, on this side. Naam, ya Umar. Meaning?
Allah does not forgive.
Indeed, Allah does not forgive. And yushraka bihi.
Someone else or something else should be associated with
him. That anything be made equal with him, associated with him.
Something that does not reach the level of shirk.
And anything less than that, he may forgive to whomever he wills. Naam. How does this ayah, yani, show the severity of the consequence of shirk? What you said before. Because shirk, what? Yani, it's the sin. that Allah will not forgive. Shirk is the sin that Allah will not forgive. Yani as the Shaykh said, Allah will not forgive لِمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ, for the person who died upon it. Meaning, the person who met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah as a mushrik, yani the one who didn't repent from that shirk before he died. Allah will never, ever, ever forgive this. Naam. Question number 9. Memorize and discuss briefly the meaning of the ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 72nd ayat. Discuss briefly the meaning of this ayat and 3 of the consequences of shirk mentioned in it, yani in this particular ayat. Abdullah? Yeah. The meaning of this ayat, إِنَّهُ مَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ,
anyone who associates something with Allah.
Now indeed, verily, surely, anyone who associates something with Allah, makes something equal to Allah, then Allah has forbidden. حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah has made haram for that person to enter the Jannah, and his وَمَأْوَاهُ, his resting, the place, not resting place, his destination will be the hellfire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and the ظَالِمِينَ, yani the mushrikeena, have no helpers. Yani they will not have anyone who can protect them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, and this is because what? Because they have, yani, made something in the creation equal with the Creator. Yani they have offered that which belongs to Allah alone to other than the one who is entitled to it, and therefore they deserve to be punished in the hellfire and forever. The last question mentioned 3 of the tremendous benefits achieved by one who actualizes at-tawheed. Yani, the person who haqqaqa at-tawheed. What are 3 benefits that the Shaykh mentioned? First of them, what we're talking about now. Uh-huh.
إِذَا حَقَّقَ الْعَبْدُ التَّوْحِيدَ حَصَلَتْ لَهُ
الزَّكَاةَ الْكَامِلَةَ. The first thing, the person who actualizes Tawheed, then they will attain complete and perfect, yani purification of the soul. Now,
وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ الْهِدَايَةُ
وَالْهِدَايَةُ
وَالْأَمْنُ التَّامَّ,
and also al-hidayah and safety, yani guidance and perfect safety and guidance in this world and in the next life. Guidance and safety in this world and the next life. And the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned here, you remember this ayah, Ladina, Ibrahim? Naam. Those who didn't mix, didn't, yani yalbisu yakhlitu, their iman, they didn't mix it or pollute it with dhulm, yani shirk, then these people, lahum al-amnu, they will have safety. Wahum muhtadun, and they are those who will be guided, al-hidayah. And some of the scholars, they said, and Shaykh al-Hafidh ibn Kathir and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, other scholars of tafsir said, that here there is complete and perfect hidayah and amnu for those who didn't mix their iman with shirk or any other ma'asi. And as far as the people who didn't mix their iman with shirk, but they committed sins, they will have hidayah, and they will have amnu, but not complete and perfect. Not complete and perfect. And it's in accordance with the perfection of your establishment of the tawheed and avoidance of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is what we covered last week. And tonight, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to go to the next principle. The second principle, what page is it starting on?
11.
On page 11 in the English translation, page
bottom,
11, huh?
Bottom of page
11. And in the Arabic, text, it's going to be on page 13. And the Shaykh, he titles this principle, Al-Qa'idatu Al-Thaniyatu, the second principle, the second Qa'ida. الدُّعاءُ مِفْتَاحُ زَكَاةِ النُّفُوسِ. Page 12? Oh, page 12 in the English translation. Page 12, okay. And page 13 in Arabic. Yani that الدُّعاء, supplication, it is the key for purification of the souls. The key to purification of souls is dua. And the key, this is very important, right? Because you can't get into anything without the key. There's no breaking in here. And you either have the key or you don't get in. The key to purification, before the rest of the principles that come after that, if the foundation of Tawheed is established, then the key, it is dua. This is a very important principle here, my dear brothers and sisters, very important principle that we should take to heart. And it should be something that we constantly engage in, and we should realize the importance of it, the absolute need and necessity of dua if we're going to be successful in anything in the matters of this world or the next life. The key is ad-du'a. The Shaykh, he begins with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Shaykh Al-Albani and Jami Al-Sahih, said that it is Hasan, Hassanahu Al-Albani. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa shay'un akramu, yani afdalu, ala Allah ta'ala min ad-du'a." Laysa shay'un akramu ala Allah ta'ala min ad-du'a. That there is nothing more honorable, more noble, better than, yani with Allah, better than, more than ad-du'a. There's nothing akramu or afdalu min ad-du'a. This is the most noble, the most honorable, the best thing that a person can do in their relationship with Allah, it is to supplicate to Him. فَالدُّعَى مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْعِبَادَاتِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So indeed, supplication, it is from the best, the most preferable, the noble, the most honorable of all acts of worship in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why is, لِأَنَّ فِيهِ إِظْهَارًا لِلْعَجْزِ. Because in supplication, there is the display, the open display from the person who supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their inability, al-ajz, that I'm unable, that's why I'm calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in it is the display of iftiqar, that a person is showing their need, that I am in need. I am faqirun ila rabbi. I am in need of my Rabb. When a person supplicates, they are showing openly, they are displaying openly that they are in need. والتذلل, يعني submission. والانكسار, يعني weakness or humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والاعتراف بقوة الله عز وجل وقدرته. And also the confession, the acknowledgement of the quwwa, the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the qudra, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani in dua, a person is displaying these things. وَغِنَاهُ وَإِغْنَائِهِ. Ghina wa ighna'ihi. Somebody help me. Ghina'ahu means what? That he himself is rich without need. وَإِغْنَائِهِ, that he enriches others. Pay attention to this point. Because somehow in the translation it didn't come like that. The meaning of غِنَاهُ means that Allah is free of need. He is rich. And إِغْنَائِهِ means that he is the one who has the ability to enrich others. وَكِبْرِيَائِهِ, and his greatness. وَجَبْرَ كَسْرِ خَوَاتِرْ أَعْدَائِهِ فَضْلًا عَنْ فُضَلَاءِ أَحْبَابِهِ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِ. And here again, yani the expression, جبر, كَسْرِ خَوَاتِرْ, yani the meaning of جبر means to mend something. كَسْر means something that is broken. And the خَوَاتِر is the feelings of the people. Yani the person, that Allah is the one who has the ability to mend the broken feelings of the people. The people is messed up. Allah is able to mend them, to fix it. He's able to do that for His enemies, not to mention the virtuous ones from amongst His beloved, yani ahbab and awliya, those who are of iman and taqwa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is able to make the people whose feelings are broken, He's able to make them feel better. His enemies, not to mention those whom He loves and those who are His awliya. This is why, yani, dua is from the greatest, the best, the most noble of ibadat with Allah. Because of all of these reasons, of what dua contains, what it entails in the human being that sincerely turns to Allah and calls upon Him, recognizing and knowing that they are in need. وَلَهُ أَثَرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي فَتْ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. And it also, yani, dua has a tremendous, magnificent effect in the opening of the doors of goodness, of every kind of good, is opened through a dua. كما قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية في وصيته لأبي قاسم المغربي رحمه الله. أبي قاسم المغربي. What was his wasiyah to Abu al-Qasim al-Maghribi? Al-wasiyah al-sughra. Al-wasiyah al-sughra. And his wasiyah al-sughra. Yani his wasiyah to Abu al-Qasim al-Maghribi. Rahimahullah. Who was himself a scholar in his own right. And he asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah specific questions to which he responded tremendously, with tremendous answers. Al-wasiyah al-sughra. A tremendous, very, very important book. In that book, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Ad-du'a miftahu kulli khayrin. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said what? The dua is the key to every goodness, everything of good. The key to it is a dua. فَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ تَرْجُوهُ لِنَفْسِكَ وَتُرِيدُهُ مِنْ خَيْرَاتِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَاتْلُبْهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالْجَا إِلَيْهِ فِي نَيْلِهِ وَتَحْسِيلِهِ. Therefore, acknowledging, accepting, realizing that yani dua is the key to every khair, the Shaykh, so he said what? Therefore, everything of good that you hope for, that you want for yourself, from the good things of this world and the next life, then you must seek it, you must request it from Allah, and you must turn to Him in order to attain it or to acquire it. Whatever there is of good, of the matters of the dunya or the akhirah, yani, seek it from Allah and turn to Him in order to receive it, to attain it, to achieve it. وَقَدْ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَنْ دَعَاهُ وَالْتَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised whoever calls upon Him and whoever turns to Him, He has promised them to respond. He has promised al-ijabah. Allah's promise. And of course Allah's promise is true. He is the one who keeps His promise, who is able and who will keep His promise. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى concerning this matter, the promise of Allah, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُذْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah, our Rabb, He said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ Your Rabb, He said, call upon Me and I will answer you. Call upon Me. He ordered us to call upon Him, and then He also promised that if we do call upon Him, He will answer. Note, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to call upon Him. It's not like I'm in need, let me call upon Him. In need, or if you don't know that you are in need, Allah has commanded us to call upon Him. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us, just like it's incumbent upon a Muslim to make salat 5 times a day, it's obligatory for us to call upon Allah and ask for Him, ask from Him our needs. It's obligatory. And whoever doesn't call upon Allah, they have fallen into disobedience. From more than one angle. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says, in reference to this ayat, it's not in the book, هَذَا مَنْ لُطْفِهِ بِعِبَادِهِ وَنِعْمَتِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. This is from the gentleness, the kindness of Allah to His servants and His ni'mah, His great ni'mah upon them. حَيْثُ دَعَاهُمْ إِلَى مَا فِيهِ صَلَحْ دِينَهُمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ. Yani, it's the kindness of Allah and His ni'mah in that He has called the people to that which contains, yani, their benefit in their deen and in their dunya. Call the people to that which is for their benefit, that is in their interests. وَأَمْرَهُمْ بِدُعَاهِ. And He has commanded the people to supplicate to Him. دُعَاء الْعِبَادَةِ وَدُعَاء الْمَسْأَلَةِ. دُعَاء الْعِبَادَةِ وَدُعَاء الْمَسْأَلَةِ. What is the difference? نعم, يا إبراهيم. نعم. يعني doing acts of worship, due to which you expect يعني Allah to respond to you. And دُعَاء الْمَسْأَلَةِ is asking, yani sa'ala, yani you ask Allah. Yani the dua that most people think about is raising your hand saying, oh Allah, give me this and give me that. That's dua al-mas'ala. Dua al-ibadah is that a Muslim worships Allah, performs salat, zakat, siyam, any act of worship, and that is also a form of dua. Dua al-ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, Shaykh al-Sa'adi says, He is telling us to call upon Him, not just to supplicate in words, but to worship Him. To worship Him. To worship Him. Especially if we consider the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, إِنَّ الدُّعَى هُوَ الْإِبَادَةِ. الدُّعَى هُوَ الْإِبَادَةِ. And in a weak narration, مُخَ الْإِبَادَةِ. Not authentic. But the point is, the meaning is, دُعَى هُوَ الْإِبَادَةِ. Yani the greatest form of Worship is dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He's telling us to call upon Him. To supplicate to Him, dua al-mas'ala, and to worship Him, dua al-ibadah. After this, the Shaykh, he says, after this ayah, وَقَالَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the commander of the believers, the second Khalifa, one of the foremost and greatest and beloved of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who was himself, although he's not usually mentioned in this way, a great scholar. Naam, Umar ibn al-Khattab was a great scholar. How could he be chosen to be the Khalifa, the leader of the Muslims, if he wasn't a person of knowledge? People cannot lead without knowledge. You can't do anything in Islam without knowledge. Anything. As Imam Bukhari said, what? Al-ilm? Qabla al-qawl wal-amal. Knowledge precedes speech and action. You don't have a right to speak. You don't have a right to act until first you have knowledge. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, Inni la ahmilu hamma al-ijaba. I am not carrying the concern of the answer. Yani meaning I am not worried about the answer. That's not my concern. Yani is Allah going to answer me or not? I'm not even worried about that. He said, Lakin hamma al-du'a. What I'm concerned about is yani the du'a that I actually supplicate to Allah. As far as the answer, Allah already promised, call upon me, I will answer you. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, listen to what he's saying. I'm not concerned about whether or not Allah is going to answer. I'm concerned about me. Will I supplicate? And some of us, we don't supplicate. Except if we're in trouble. We don't ask Allah every day, all the time, day and night. We don't. I think. I'm stopping here because I want us to think about this. Yani, we should be calling upon Allah all the time. Are we not in need always? Allah musta'an. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I'm not concerned about the answer, I'm concerned about me supplicating. فَإِذَا أُلْهِمْتُ الدُّعَى So if I am yani inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to supplicate, فَإِنَّ الْإِجَابَ مَعَهُ Yani if Allah inspires me to supplicate, then I know the answer is coming with it. Guaranteed. وَعَلَى الْمُتَرِّفِ إِبْنِ الشَّخِيرِ رحمه الله قال تذكرت ما جماع الخير المترف ابن شخير رحمه الله he said I remembered or I thought about what is the thing يعني جماع الخير يعني the thing which gathers or brings together يعني all the خير جماع الخير يعني what is it contained within the خير جماع الخير فإذا الخير كثير so when I thought about it I realized that the خير is much there's lots of خير Yani, which one is jima' al-khayr? There's so much khayr. As-sawm, as-salat. Yani, as-sawm is khayr. As-salat is khayr. As-zakat is khayr. I saw there's khayr in so many things. وَإِذَا هُوَ فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجَلَّ And then I also realized that khayr is kathir. But all of it is in the hands of Allah عز وجل. All of it is with Allah. Every khayr is with Allah. There's no khayr except بِيَدِ اللَّهِ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ The Prophet ﷺ used to say, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ Yani in his hand, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the khayr. وَإِذَا أَنْتَ لَا تَقْدِرُ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجَلَّ And then I also realized that you, me, no one is able to have any control over that which is in the hands of Allah. إِلَّا أَنْ تَسْأَلَهُ فَيُعَطِيَكَ Except that you ask him, and then because you asked him, he may give you. You have to ask. فَإِذَا جِمَاعُ الْخَيْرِ الدُّعَى So therefore I realized in the end that which, يعني جِمَاعُ الْخَيْرِ that which brings all the khayr together, it is الدُّعَى. Because all the khayr is in the hand of Allah and nobody can get it except by asking and by Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving. And in the beginning, يعني the Shaykh began by saying الدُّعَى مِفْتَاح كُلِّ خَيْرِ And this is a fact that يعني all of the khayr is in the hand of Allah and the key to every khayr It is الدعاء. وفي باب تزكية and specifically related to purification of the nafs. Okay, we're saying that dua is the key to every khair. but specifically related to the topic of at-tazkiyah, bab at-tazkiyah, صحّ عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال في دعائه اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. يعني it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Sahih of Muslim that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say in his dua, O Allah, give to my nafs تقواها. يعني give to my nafs, to my soul, grant me taqwa. Grant me taqwa. وَزَكِّهَا And purify my nafs. Purify it. Yani from sin, from corruption, from evil, from yani shirk and kufr. زَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مِنْ زَكَّهَا Because you are the best one to purify the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا You are the wali. And you are the mawla. Yani the one who takes the responsibility for the nafs, and you are the one who grants it whatever it is in need of. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Whoever didn't memorize this supplication, I urge you and encourage you to memorize it. It's about 10 words or more or less, and it's not that difficult to memorize. And it is critical that this should be cited by a Muslim every single day. Not even just once a day, but as much as it came to your mind. وَفِي هَذَا الدُّعَى The Shaykh says concerning the meaning of this dua, فِي هَذَا الدُّعَى إِشَارَةٌ وَتَنْبِيحٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ تَزْكِيَةُ النُّفُوسِ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَنَّ مَفْتَاحَهَا الْعَظِيمُ هُوَ الدُّعَى وَالْإِفْتِقَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani in this supplication, it contains an ishara. Yani it points to, there's an indication within it, and a tanbih. Yani calling to our attention. There's an ishara pointing to something. Even if it's not direct, there's an ishara. It's pointing to something here. And there's tanbih, making us to pay attention to something of great importance in this supplication. And that is, that tazkiyatun nufus, the purification of the souls, is in the hands of Allah, the one who is the knower of the unseen. And that the greatest key, yani for purification of the soul, it is a dua and al-iftiqar, the person acknowledging, recognizing, being conscious and aware of their need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes people don't think they're in need of Allah, especially if things are going well. Maybe you have a lot of money in the bank, you have a big car, home, you have a lot of stuff, you have whatever you have. And therefore you might think you're not in need. Maybe you have good health at the moment and everything else is going fine. You're not in danger or anything. So you might think you are not in need of Allah. But we are in need. In this supplication, there's an indication of this, that the purification of the souls is in the hands of Allah, and the greatest key is a dua and the consciousness that we are in need of Allah. A person has to know that they are in need, or they won't make dua. Or even if they do, if they don't have consciousness in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, when they're calling upon Allah, that they're in need, what kind of dua would that be? Of the person calling upon Allah not feeling they're in need. That's not real dua. Because the core, the essence, the heart of dua is that a person recognizes that I'm calling upon the one who is the only one who has the ability to help me, and I am in need. Naam. And then the Shaykh says, it is for this reason, knowing that the tazkiyat al-nafs, the purification of the soul, and the whole of every kind of goodness is in the hands of Allah. It is for this reason, لِهَذَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُ دُعَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ or اللَّهُمَّ مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ يعني, O مقلب القلوب, or O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, يعني who controls the hearts, turning them, ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ Make my heart to be firm upon your deen. Make my heart to be firm upon your deen. This is also a supplication that is completely, totally worthy of memorization. I just want to read just briefly, quickly, for a moment, from Sheikh with the Sheikh Abdul Razak. He said in another place in his book, يعني فقه الأدية والأذكار, concerning this supplication, one of the things that he said about it, he said that in this supplication, The hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to frequently say, Allahumma muqallib al-kulub, thabbi qalbi ala deenik. I said, yani the narrator Anas said, I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have believed in you and in that which you have come with. So do you have fear for us? Yani that is for our remaining firm upon Islam? Yani why are you supplicating like this? Do you have some fear? Yani for our remaining upon Islam? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes indeed, the hearts are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah, and He turns them however He wills. The hearts of the human beings are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He turns them however He wills. This hadith was reported by Al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and Shaykh Al-Albani declared it to be Sahih and Sahih Sunan Al-Tirmidhi. And likewise, something similar has been narrated in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, from the supplications which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to supplicate with frequently, Allahumma muqallib al-kulub, thabbi qalbi ala deenik. She also narrated this from the Prophet. She said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed you frequently supplicate with this supplication. Yani why? Why are you so frequently supplicating with this supplication? Are we then not more in need to be supplicating with it frequently? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was using it like that, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the human heart is between two of the fingers of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. Hence, if He wills, He causes it to go astray. And if He wills, He causes it to be upright. Reported by Ahmed, it is declared Sahih authentic by Shaykh al-Albani in his book, As-Sahiha, due to his supporting narrations. And the Shaykh gave a long commentary concerning this supplication. I don't have time to read it, but I just want to refer you to this. Please go back and look at that. And yani the discussion that the Shaykh has there concerning this. Inshallah, it is of great, tremendous benefit. Now, after this, the Shaykh, he says, after this supplication, that is also certainly indeed worthy of memorization. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to frequently supplicate with it. The Shaykh says, and this here he mentions five matters that we should pay careful attention to. وَمَتَى اجْتَمَعَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ قَلْبُهُ وَمَتَى, whenever, يعني اجتمع على العبد قلبه, the heart, the whole of his heart is focused upon one matter. يعني supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it is that a person is supplicating for. But the whole heart is engaged in it. وصدقت ضرورته وفاقته, and he is truthful, sincere. يعني he realizes the darura, the necessity, and the faqa, his being in poverty and need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he's asking for. Wa qawiya raja'uhu, and his hope is strong. Yani his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he's supplicating. Wa lam yata'ajjal al-ijaba, and he didn't hasten yani his demand for the response. He didn't hasten. Yani he called upon Allah and he's patient. He didn't say, I called and Allah didn't answer, so he stopped calling. وَتَحَرَّ الْأَوْقَاتَ الْفَاضِلَةِ, and he sought out diligently the best times of supplication. His heart is focused on this one matter, and he has sincerity in realizing the necessity and his need of whatever he's asking Allah for, and his hope in Allah is strong, and he didn't feel hasty in demanding a response, and he sought out the best times. يعني الأوقات الفاضلة, يعني the middle of the night, the last, يعني the in the prostration, in the end of the salat after tashahud, يعني the times when dua is answered, يعني the last third of the night, يعني between the adhan and iqamah, before breaking fast, traveling, whatever like this, sick, raining. Looking for those times, whenever a person paid attention to these five matters, فَلَا يَقَادُ يُرَدُّ دُعَاهُ, then it is almost never that that person's dua would be rejected. وَأَعْظَمُ مَا يُعِينُكَ عَلَى الدُّعَى. Here the Shaykh goes to a next point, which is critical for us, of utmost importance. And the greatest thing that will help you in the matter of dua, that will help you, you want to call upon Allah, but sometimes we want to do good. We have intent, but we don't do it. We don't do it. We don't have the azima, sidq al-azima, to really take the matter seriously and to go after it. And don't put it off and delay and be lazy in it. Sometimes it got away from us because we didn't have صدق العظيمة. وَأَعْظَمُ مَا يُعِينُكَ عَلَى الدُّعَى. The greatest thing that will help you in this matter of dua is مَعَارِفَتُكَ أَنَّ زَكَاةَ نَفْسِكَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It is your knowing, yani being certain of this fact, that the purification of your nafs is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know that, and you're conscious and aware of it, and you reflect upon it, this will be a tremendous help, yani to compel you to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَالْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ وَتَحْتَ مَشِيَّتِهِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. And indeed, Allah, He is the one who purifies the hearts, the souls of whomever He wills, the whole of their affairs with Him. And it is under His will. يعني تحت مشيته. He is the one who does whatever He wills. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 49th Ayat, بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the beginning of this ayat, did you not see those who يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ, who considered themselves to be pure and righteous? Did you not look at those people? بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, it is Allah who purifies whomever He wills. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَطِيلًا. And He doesn't wrong anyone, even to the amount of the string that's on the date seed. Not even that slight amount. Allah doesn't wrong anyone. Naam. Allah is the one who purifies whomever He wills. Some of the scholars of tafsir said, they went back to this even in this ayat, He purifies whomever He wills, bil iman wa tawheed. By iman and by tawheed. Wal amal as-salih, and by righteous deeds. بالتخلي عن الأخلاق الرذيلة والتحلي بالصفات الجميلة. And we're going to come to this as a principle later on in this essay of the Shaykh. يعني purifies them by what? By تخلي, by removing from themselves evil, vile, low characteristics and replacing them, تحلي, with beautiful characteristics. الصفات الجميلة. يعني Allah purifies the people by iman and by tawheed and by righteous deeds, and so on. The Shaykh also mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 24th Surah, Surah An-Nur, 21st Ayat, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Yani if it was not for the fadl of Allah, the bounty, the favor of Allah upon you, and His rahmah, His mercy upon you, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, not one of you, مِنْ أَحَدٍ, not one of you, anyone at all, with no exception, أَبَدًا, أَبَدًا. It could never happen that anybody would have been purified if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah and His rahmah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But it is Allah who purifies whomever He wills. يعني يُزَكِّي يُطَهِّر مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. Yani He purifies them from sins, and then He causes the growth of al-khayr in them, because al-zakah, yani the root meaning of zakah, not only includes purification, but it also includes an-nama, yani growth. So that means that there are two sides. There's the removal of the sins, and then there's the bringing of the good deeds that cause the soul to be enriched. Allah is the one who purifies whomever He wills. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and the Shaykh here in reference to this ayah will suffice with what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says concerning this ayat, that if it wasn't for the mercy of the favor of Allah and His mercy, not one of you would ever have been purified, except that Allah purifies whomever He wills. Ibn Abbas said fi tafsir qawlihi ta'ala, ma zaka minkum, ma zaka minhum ahadan abadan, no one of you would ever have become pure. The meaning of it is, purification here he means, tazkiyah, it is, mahtada ahadun min al-khalaik li shay'in min al-khayr yanfa'u bihi nafsa. That no person from amongst, or no one from the creatures that Allah created in His universe, no one would have been guided to anything of good that he could benefit himself with, if not for the fadl of Allah and His rahmah. No person would have been guided to anything of good that he could benefit himself with. And likewise, he said, وَلَمْ يَتَّقِي شَيْئًا مِنَ الشَّرِّ يَدْفَعُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. And he would never have been able to protect himself from anything of evil. يَتَّقِي شَيْئًا مِنَ الشَّرِّ. He would never have been able to protect himself, guard himself from anything of evil that he wanted to repulse, to push back from himself. It would never have happened. That means, كل ذلك إنما هو بمحض فضل الله عز وجل. That all of this, the guidance of a person to do anything of good, or the protection of a person from anything of evil, all of this, it is the pure, absolute فضل of Allah. It has nothing to do with you. Huh? Let us not imagine that some of us are very intelligent, mashallah. And we think that because we're intelligent, that's why we excelled in some way. All of it is the pure fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all His. Yani the khair is from Allah. Qala al-Bara radiyallahu anhu. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawm al-Ahzab. Yawm al-Ahzab is what? The Khandaq, yani the battle of the Confederates. The Confederates, when all of the pagans and disbelievers and Ahl Kitab, everybody came against the Muslims to destroy Islam. وقال البراء رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الأحزاب ينقل معنا التراب. The Prophet was carrying the dirt along with us. The Prophet of Allah, the leader, the ruler, he's also in the ditch carrying dirt. What an example. Wallahi, this is ajeeb. And then you have people, wallahi, a brother told me the other day, just recently, yesterday, that there are some people from amongst us, some of the people that we even know, some of the old timers know, that are saying the Prophet ﷺ is merely to deliver the message. He's not an example to be followed, stepping in with the right, stepping out with the left, doing eating this way and that way. None of that. It's just, he just delivered the message, that's all. The Quran. No sunnah. When the brother told me that and he named some people, I was like, Subhanallah, it is indeed a favor of Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma batalaka bi. We should be saying this. Alhamdulillah, the one who saved us from that which those people have been tried with. Those people were amongst us. They were claiming that they followed the sunnah. Now they're saying, there's no hadith, it's just Quran. The Prophet of Allah, subhanAllah, he's just delivered the message, that's all. His life, his example, none of that. None of that. And here he is, the Prophet of Allah, Al-Bara, radiallahu anhu, he's saying, the Prophet, he was carrying the dirt with us. وَقَدْ رَوَى التُرَابِ بَيَاض بَطْنِهِ. And the dust was covering his white stomach. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. While he was saying, yani while he was carrying the dirt, he was chanting in front of the people for them to hear what he is saying, so that they will benefit from this beautiful guidance. وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَى اللَّهُ مَحْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. If it wasn't for Allah, by Allah, wallahi, the Prophet is saying, if it wasn't for Allah, we would not have been guided. And we would not have given charity. And we would not have performed salat. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this wording is from Al-Imam Muslim. If it wasn't for Allah, by Allah, if it wasn't for Allah, we would not have been guided. And we would not have given charity. And we would not have done anything of good. It is all by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fal-hidayah wal-iman. And this is the end of where we're coming to now. Fal-hidayah wal-imanu wal-khayru kulluhu biyadillahi wahdahu. Indeed, the guidance and iman and every type of good, it is all in the hands of Allah alone. It is all in the hand of Allah alone. وَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَغْرِسُ. يَغْرِسُ, يعني he used to plant deeply, yani instill into the hearts, the souls of his sahaba. Kana yagrisu, like you plant something in the earth, you push it down deep into the earth. He used to implant this, yani into the hearts, into the souls of the companions. Kana yagrisu hadha al-amr fi nufus as-sahaba radiyallahu anhum wa yu'akkidu alayhi bistimrar. This idea that the hidayah, that iman, that khair, all of it is in the hands of Allah alone, the Prophet ﷺ used to instill this into the nufus, into the souls of Sahaba. Not just a word intellectually that you hear and you write it down and you learn it and I know how to repeat this. Rather, he used to try to implant it into their souls. Because some of what we know about Islam is just on the lips. It didn't reach our hearts. And the proof of it is, it didn't affect our behavior. Na'am. If it reached the heart, it changes the human being. But for some of us, I don't mean us, I'm saying Muslims. Yeah, we heard it. Maybe we memorized it, we wrote it, we read it, we spoke it, but we didn't act upon it. So the Prophet ﷺ, he instilled this into the souls of Sahaba. And he reinforced it, yu'akkid alayhi, by continuously, yani again and again and again, teaching them this, reminding them of this. فَكَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْتَحِلُّ خُطْبَتَهُ بِقَوْلِهِ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَدِيَ لَهُ. Yani, he used to begin his khutbah by saying, yani, whoever Allah guides, nobody can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, whoever Allah leads astray, na'am, Allah leads astray. Na'am. He didn't let them stray, he led them astray. Because they refused to accept his message. They refused to follow the guidance. So he led them astray. Because their hearts rejected the truth. So he turned their hearts away. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can mislead them. And this is a reminder to us that some people, they are misguided because they don't want the truth. They don't want right guidance. If Allah guides somebody, nobody can lead them astray. However tricky they might be, Shiite deception, Sufism, yani, Qur'ani, I don't want to call them that, this Qur'ani, people who say they believe in the Qur'an alone, whatever. Whatever arguments they came with, wallahi, they cannot lead a person astray if Allah guides them. If the person sincerely seeks guidance from Allah, and they seek knowledge, and they act upon it, nobody can lead them astray. Nobody can lead them astray. That's what the Prophet ﷺ clearly said. مَا يَهْدِي اللَّهِ. Whoever Allah guides, فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. There's no one that can mislead them. And whoever Allah misleads, there's no one that can guide them. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Ibn Abbas and At-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasa'i and Ibn Majah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, so this asl, this foundation, this principle, this qa'ida, it is a'azamu al-abwab litazkiyat al-nafs. It is the greatest of the doors, the doorways, the passageways to purification of the nafs. It is this principle that is ad-du'a. So whoever knows that salah al-nafsihi wa zakat, yani anna salat al-nafsihi wa zakataha wa istiqamataha biyadi Allah azza wa jalla, laja'a ilayhi wa aqbala ala babihi mulihan alayhi bid-du'a raji'an taliman liyanalu منه زكاة نفسه ونجاة نجاتها وفلاحها في الدنيا والآخرة. So here the Shaykh, he says, and this is the greatest of the doorways to purification of the soul. So whoever knows with real knowledge, علم اليقين, أن صلاح نفسه, that the rectification of his nafs, that the zakat, purification of his nafs, that the istiqama, the uprightness of his nafs, is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then that person would turn to Allah, laja'a ilayhi, would seek refuge in Allah, seek asylum in Allah, would turn to Allah, wa aqbal ala babihi, and present himself at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mulihan, yani being persistent, insistent in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a dua, hoping for Allah's yani response. Desiring Allah's response in order that that person might achieve the purification of their nafs and its salvation and its success in this world and in the next life. Yani, this should encourage every one of us to take a look at ourselves, take account of ourselves. We don't have to look at other people. Rather, we have to look at ourselves. Yani, how serious are we taking this matter of the purification of our nafs? That will either be, yani, the cause of our success in this world and the next, Or if we don't purify it, then it definitely وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. It will definitely will be of the losers. Do we take this serious? If we do, then we have to take a look at our relationship with Allah and our calling upon Allah, our dua and our supplicating, how we are doing this, how often we are doing it sincerely, and in knowing indeed that we are in need. May Allah grant us success, yani in acting upon that which we know that is right, and following the sunnah, the example, the model of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and calling upon him day and night for every need, for every need. Indeed, all of the khair is in his hand, and success and the purification of the soul is with Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.